South African private practices don't have an AI problem, they have a governance problem. You're 3 slides into the demo, and the AI scribe is transcribing the salesperson's mock consultation in real time. It's accurate. It's fast. Then you ask the question that actually matters: if this tool mishears, discontinued as continued in a patient's notes, who's responsible, you, or the company that built it? The salesperson pauses. That pause is the whole story. If you've sat through a pitch for an AI scribe, scheduling assistant, or diagnostic aid and walked away without adopting it, you're not behind. You're responding correctly to a question the industry hasn't answered yet. Research on healthcare AI is consistent on this point: trust and acceptance, not the underlying technology, decide whether AI succeeds in a clinical setting. A peer-reviewed South African study frames the country explicitly as a diverse socioeconomic context where this trust is the precondition for AI success, not a nice-to-have that follows once the tech is good enough. The opportunity. Here's the reframe that makes this useful: instead of overwhelming, stop asking, should my practice get AI, and start asking, which category of AI tool matches what my team actually does all day. International research on healthcare AI adoption draws a clear line between two categories. The first is admin and workflow AI, tools that handle rostering, scheduling, and the back-office grind. Nurses and nurse practitioners, who carry a heavier share of this work, tend to see the most value here. The second is clinical support AI, tools that assist with documentation, triage, or decision support during a consultation. Physicians and dentists, in studies looking at this split, focused on this category as where AI adds real value to their work. If you run a GP practice, a dental clinic, or a psychology practice, an AI scheduling tool solves a real problem, but it's not solving your problem. The clinical support category is. And if you're a nurse practitioner running your clinic's day-to-day operations, a diagnostic aid pitch might look impressive, but a workflow tool is probably the one that actually changes your week. This matters because AI integration into healthcare across sub-Saharan Africa, South Africa included, is moving, driven by its potential to improve patient outcomes and make care delivery more efficient. But it's moving at varying paces. There's no single moment where the market decides and everyone adopts at once. The practical move is matching the right category of tool to the right role in your practice now, rather than waiting for a consensus that may never arrive on a useful timeline. One honest caveat: don't adopt AI expecting guaranteed cost savings. Research across the region describes cost reductions from AI adoption as inconsistent. Some practices see them, many don't, and the variation is wide enough that nobody's published a reliable figure. If a vendor leads with a savings promise, that's a flag, not a feature. How it works. Before you sign anything, run the tool through 4 checks. None of these need a lawyer on day one. The questions you put to the vendor and how they answer tells you most of what you need to know. Step 1, role fit. Work out which category the tool actually belongs to, admin/workflow, or clinical support, and match it to the person who'll use it daily. An AI scribe pitch to your whole practice might genuinely only solve a problem for your GPs, not your reception staff. Don't buy for the practice. Buy for the role. Step 2, the liability question. Ask directly: if the AI gets something wrong, mishears a consultation, flags the wrong triage priority, books a patient into the wrong slot, who's accountable, you or the vendor? This isn't hypothetical. Allied health professionals consistently report feeling personally and directly liable for the quality of care they provide, and that sense of liability doesn't disappear because a tool generated the output. Get the vendor's answer in writing before you roll anything out. If they can't give you a straight answer, that's your answer. Step 3, data and governance. Ask where patient data is processed and stored, whether it leaves South Africa, and whether the vendor can explain, in plain terms, how the tool reached the given output. South Africa's information regulator oversees POPIA compliance for any business handling personal information, including patient health records, so this isn't an optional extra question, it's the same due diligence you'd apply to any system touching patient files. Internationally, this is the gap regulators are trying to close. Debates around frameworks like the EU AI Act increasingly focus on governance that keeps AI from quietly disadvantaging some patients or staff more than others. SA doesn't have an equivalent framework yet, which means the responsibility for asking these questions sits with you. Step 4, role-specific training. Resist the one-size-fits-all staff briefing. A study of healthcare AI literacy in Flanders found that generic training, the same session for everyone, regardless of role, left staff with uneven trust in the tool and produced unequal adoption across the team. A nurse using a scheduling AI and a GP using a documentation AI need different training because they're using different tools for different reasons. Plan onboarding parole. It takes longer to set up. It's the difference between a tool your whole team trusts and one that half your team quietly avoids. Case study, a 3-practitioner dental practice vets an AI scribe. This case is illustrative, a composite scenario based on the due diligence process above, not a documented client outcome. Who, a 3-dentist practice in Cape Town, with 2 dental assistants and 1 practice manager. The problem, the practice manager had been pitched an AI scribe that listens during consultations and drafts clinical notes automatically. 2 of the 3 dentists were keen. The 3rd wasn't against AI, she just didn't know who'd be responsible if the scribe mistranscribed the patient's allergy history into their file. What changed? Instead of rolling it out practice-wide, the practice manager ran it through the 4-step check. Role fit, clearly a clinical support tool, relevant to the dentist, not the front desk team. Liability, she emailed the vendor directly, asking who's responsible if a transcription error makes it into a patient record uncorrected. The vendor's written response specified that the dentist reviewing and signing off each note carries responsibility, which meant every note needed a mandatory review step before filing, not an optional one. Data, she asked where consultation audio and transcripts were stored, whether they left South Africa, and checked that against what the practice already discloses to patients in its POPIA consent forms. What happened next? The practice didn't reject the tool. It piloted it with 1 dentist, the one most comfortable with the review and sign-off step, for 1 month, before deciding whether to extend it to the other 2. The friction, the mandatory review step the vendor confirmed was necessary, added time back into each consultation that the scribe was supposed to save. The pilot dentist found the net time saving smaller than the demo suggested, once review was factored in, exactly the kind of detail a 5-minute pitch deck doesn't show you, and exactly why the pilot mattered more than the sales call. Frequently asked questions. Will an AI tool actually save my practice time or money, or is this just hype? Honestly, it depends entirely on fit, and the research backs that up. Cost reductions from AI adoption across the region are described as inconsistent, not guaranteed. Some practices see real gains, others don't, and there's no published figure you can bank on. The question that actually predicts whether you'll benefit isn't, is AI good? It's, does this specific tool match what this specific role in my practice does all day? Get that match right, and the value follows. Get it wrong, and you've bought software nobody uses. If the AI gets something wrong, who's liable, me or the vendor? Ask before you sign, not after something goes wrong. Allied health professionals consistently report feeling personally responsible for the quality of care they provide, and that doesn't change because an algorithm produced a draft note or a triage flag. Push the vendor for a written answer on where their responsibility ends and yours begins. If a vendor avoids the question, treat that as information in itself. Is my patient's data safe and POPIA compliant if I use an AI tool? This is a question for your vendor, not a box you can tick from a brochure. Ask where data is processed and stored, whether it leaves South Africa, and how that compares to what you've already told patients in your POPIA consent documentation. South Africa's information regulator hasn't issued AI-specific guidance yet, which means there's no shortcut, you're applying the same scrutiny you'd apply to any system that touches patient records, and the vendor needs to meet it. The cooler take. Ask the vendor who's liable, get it in writing, and you're protected, that's the assumption holding up this whole piece. Here's what nobody's saying, a 3-person dental practice carries no weight with an international AI vendor. You're not a key account, you're a support ticket. The written answer you get is more likely a copy-paste from the terms of service than a real commitment, and if the vendor goes quiet instead, you've learned nothing except that you're stuck waiting. The actual protection isn't on the vendor's side. It's checking that your professional indemnity cover explicitly includes AI-assisted errors before you sign anything, a conversation with your insurer, not your software rep. One honest caveat, most brokers haven't been asked this question yet either, so expect to do some explaining. Next week, what role-specific training actually looks like in a 5-person clinic where everyone wears 3 hats.